John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Astros won. 7-2. 2.5 game lead over the Rangers. We had Jadeveon Clowney. We heard sound. We'll hear some more in the near future. Hear from Aziz Alshaier as well on Rutledge. Woody Marks had some comments about the running back position. Carlos Correa has been cleared to start swinging, so we got that to talk about a little bit. But Lance promoted that Mike Sando has his quarterback rankings out. And this is not Mike Sando. This is the league.
Every year. Every year he does this, and it's kind of a – Mike Sando, just to give you a heads up, he was at ESPN for years, was ended up being part of their cuts, I think 2 years ago. And Sando has been around for a long time and is extremely, extremely plugged in with – he writes. He doesn't – he's not on their TV shows or anything like that, although I did see him on Dan Patrick was doing something, but so he hasn't been a TV guy. He's not an he's an insider, but not like gets the scoop on contracts and things like that. He's an insider in that he talks to coaches and executives about everything. So when Mike Sando talks, I listen. I always have because he's that plugged in. This year, he talked to 50 executives and coaches from around the league, and so he hits on every team. Different coaches and executives. So this is a 50, there's 50 people who rank 35 veteran quarterbacks. He says, let me see, the quarterback tiers are just as you would expect. There's tier one, there's tier two, there's tier three, and there's tier four. And then he describes what those tiers look like. Tier one is going to be quarterbacks who carry the team each week. The team wins because of him. Expertly handles pure passing situations and has no real holes in his game. Would you like to guess who tier one is, John? With all of those things that I just mentioned,
yeah.
I gave you very clear criteria.
Mahomes, Josh Allen.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
Joe Burrow.
That's correct. Have you looked at this?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm not going to ask you anymore. That's exactly.
I saw this yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. Then that's exactly who is in there. Here's what the voting looked like. Pat Mahomes got 49 tier one votes. He got one vote for tier two. One of the quotes on him was, I know no one sees this list, but no one wants to be the one that takes the one off. He has earned that one. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, he's just got, you know, it's typical Mahomes. Mahomes is a guy we all know what Mahomes is. Mahomes in tier two, the one guy who had him in there said he's not carrying them every week anymore. The GM placing Mahomes in tier two said they had the season 2024 when they were historically, you would say, lucky in one possession games and then got trounced in the Super Bowl. They were not as impressive in one position games in 2025. Now he's coming off injury. Is he going to deteriorate physically? I think that's a fair question. A fair question. They were lucky in 24. We talked about how many games they pulled out, and then they got hammered, and then last year they weren't good, and Mahomes is coming off an injury. I wouldn't bet against them, no. The money should be on him being tier one for sure.
Yeah.
Then number two, Josh Allen. They had 48 votes for him in tier one, only two in tier two. I'll just keep moving on. I mean, you know, you could guess the same thing. 48 votes for Matt Stafford, two in tier two. His football intelligence matches his football talent is one of the comments. Now I'm going to read this for a very specific reason. He wins at the line of scrimmage, and then he's got this elite arm talent, and they're well schemed. The GM said everything they put on him at the line of scrimmage, he makes it come to life. Best in the league on that. So this is a big part of actual NFL is how quarterbacks perform at the line of scrimmage. Recognition of pressure, getting to certain protections, recognition of coverages, how to occasionally bait coverages into showing you what they're going to do. Peyton Manning was great at that with his dummy calls, making defenses move after this, you know, expecting the snap and they'd already start their movement and he'd get an idea of what was happening. If you know what's coming at the line of scrimmage, if you have a pre-snap plan, then your post-snap execution is going to be much quicker. Joe Burrow, they've got 46 votes for him in Tier 1 and 4 in Tier 2. The Tier 2 quarterbacks carries his team sometimes. We're done with Tier 1. Carries his team sometimes, handles pure pressure passing situations in doses, or has other dimensions that elevate him above Tier 3, has a hole or two in his game. Number 5 is Lamar Jackson. If he doesn't play well, they don't win games, is one of the quotes. I'm not sure how much he wants to run and take his hits anymore, an opposing coach said. He can't be special without the threat of a run, which I would agree with that. I think he needs special, right? If you're talking about special, what makes him special is his ability to run is such a – you can't really game plan against it. I think he needs to be more active when he does run. It used to be he would go and outrun you. Now he kind of goes, but he is not always moving with purpose. But he's in Tier 2, having gone against him a lot when they changed coordinators to Todd Monken from Greg Roman. He became a quarterback who is going to run it a little bit, not a lot. Next up at number 6, they have Justin Herbert. He should have had more accolades at this point, says one defense coordinator. I'd agree with that. By the way, Lamar Jackson's tier votes were 22 in Tier 1, 28 in Tier 2. Justin Herbert's votes were 19 in Tier 1, 28 in Tier 2, 3 in Tier 3. Next up was Dak Prescott. He had 12 Tier 1 votes, 36 Tier 2 votes. Drake May was tied for 8th and pretty firmly in the Tier 2 with 37 votes there. He was tied with Jared Goff, who has 39 votes in Tier 2, but 7 votes in Tier 3, which he only had 4 votes for Tier 1. Where's CJ going to be? Well, we're still in Tier 2. Here's Jordan Love, has 37 votes in Tier 2. He's always getting away with it, so at some point I just have to tip my cap, says an offensive coach. He's good. I was surprised an opposing defense coordinator said really solid, mobile, threw with better accuracy than I thought. I'd give him a Tier 2. Brock Purdy is tied at 11th. He's got 34 Tier 2 votes, 15 Tier 3. He's one of those that I'm kind of probably borderline Tier 2. He's tied with Tier 2's Caleb Williams, who had no Tier 1 votes, 36 Tier 2 votes. I've got all these cut-ups on him, and I'm going, this guy's special. He makes unbelievable throws, and he's fearless, said one head coach. Another one said Chicago probably holds the ball longer than most teams just with the stuff they do. Then you add on Caleb's escapability. He gets out of so many that he should get sacks for 90% of the league. Number 13, Jaden Daniels, 32 votes in Tier 2, 17 in Tier 3. He was out for much of the year. I was a little surprised about this one, John. We're still in Tier 2. Baker Mayfield. One offense coordinator called him the streakiest player of all time. Sounds about right. He is pretty firmly in Tier 2, but he's tied with Sam Darnold, who had 32 Tier 2 votes, 18 Tier 3 votes. So they're both tied at 14. We still have not gotten a C.J. Stroud. Tier 2, Trevor Lawrence. He'll flash for windows where you go, oh, I think he's becoming the guy, an offense coordinator said. But another one said, man, if there's anybody that's between a 2 and a 3, I would say it's him right now, a former head coach said. If he does it again this year, I could see him. I could see putting him in standing at Tier 2.
Do you agree with Lamar Jackson moving down a tier?
I do. He's not the. I don't think he's the same because he doesn't run as much.
Do you agree with, okay.
Well, when he defined what Tier 2 looked like, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Lamar Jackson. My problem with Joe Burrow being in there is he's not available all the time.
Yeah.
When he plays, he's good, but he's not like
the these guys moved up factor. A tier. Drake May moved up a tier.
Yep.
Caleb Williams moved up a tier. Sam Darnold moved up a tier. Uh-huh. Trevor Lawrence moved up a tier, and Daniel Jones moved up a tier. Daniel Jones went from Tier 4 to Tier 3. Trevor Lawrence, yeah, I get okay. Sam Darnold, obviously, winning a Super Bowl. Caleb Williams, I can see where people think better of him.
You know, Sam Darnold probably legitimately is between 2 and 3. He's probably in that note. But because he finished strong, you kind of have to bump him into 2. I think Caleb Williams is legit in Tier 2 now.
Yeah, yeah. Moved down a tier. Lamar Jackson moved down a tier. CJ moved down a tier. Geno Smith moved down a tier from 3 to 4. Deshaun Watson moved down a tier from 3 to 4. CJ went from tier 2 to tier 3.
Here's Jalen Hurts is 17. He's still in tier 2. Now we're in tier 3. Bo Nix, 18. 19, Aaron Rodgers, 19. Number 20, CJ Stroud. Now, these are NFL coaches, coordinators, executives. And this is what they say about CJ Stroud. Coaches and executives saw Stroud similarly. 37 of them placed him in tier 3, nearly triple his total over the previous two seasons combined, 13, wow. Meaning everyone's out on CJ. Quote, prior to last year, I would have thought he is going to be on the fringe of being in that upper echelon right now, a defense coordinator said. I want to say he's 3 based on the last couple of years, but he's a 2 if I'm being fair. He's, quote, he's starting to fall into that category of a quarterback who's hard to protect, an executive said. Now listen to this. He doesn't beat you at the line of scrimmage and get the ball out. He holds a football, and then when he holds the football, he makes mistakes. Then they've signed some pro offensive linemen this season, a coach said. He plays hurried sometimes because he thinks he's going to get rushed. Then he looks, I'll just say crappy, but that's not the word he used. Then he looks crappy when he's not rushed. But he thinks he is, and then people are like, what is this kid doing? Making bad decisions when he's not under duress? Quote, Slowick got fired because the offensive line sucked, not because the quarterback really played poorly, another coach said. The old system's a little friendlier to quarterbacks who are not as fast processing, S2. Last year, it looked like CJ might be one of those guys. Hopefully, it was just first year in the scheme. But I do wonder, do you have to make it easier for this kid so he can play fast? Stroud has declined each season in quarterback tiers. Quote, this is a big year for him. He has it in him.
He has it in him.
There's some pretty damning stuff in there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And I think 3 is exactly where you
put it. The one word, and I think it's just his pouty face, but they said ambivalent. Ambivalence was a theme with Stroud.
Yeah. Well, there's no one who
I don't
really
think
thinks
he's – I don't know that CJ's face tells a story that you want to in your quarterback.
Well, yeah. I mean, ambivalent, having mixed opposing or conflicting feelings about a person, object, or idea. No. Well, with CJ, that's pretty
– Okay. So they were ambivalent they towards were ambivalent him, not, towards not him. CJ's ambivalent.
Yeah, no, not him. But they were ambivalent towards him, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you – there's nothing to really – you know, almost – you're almost kind of dismissive of him, like, yeah, you put him in tier 3. It was not really somebody. There's no heat on CJ, so it is a big year for him.
Yep.
The processing thing concerns me a little bit because if he can't play fast, it's a problem, and he hasn't proven he can play fast over the last couple of years. So, if it means making the reads more simplified, although Slowick's offense or that type of offense typically is one of the most quarterback friendly you can have.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Clint Kubiak, who helped Sam Darnold. I mean, that comes from the Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan. You know, they make it easy on quarterbacks. But that offense is not what he's running now.
It'll be interesting. Well, there's a lot more. There's a lot more here. And who can move up and who will move down and who moved in as well. So there's a lot of good stuff here. Deshaun moved down to 31st. And I don't even know that he's that good, if you want to know the truth. He looks terrible.
Jacoby Brissett, ahead of Michael Penix.
Jacoby Brissett's 33rd, and I think that's unfair.
I put him ahead of Deshaun.
I put him ahead of Deshaun, too. All right, we got a break. We're behind, but we can continue this and other stuff. We got a lot of stuff to do still. We got to talk a little Golden Nugget right now is what we got to talk. I want to talk about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I want to talk about your fantasy league. You still got time. You still have time to go to goldennugget.com/Lake Charles. Make your reservations the weekend before the season starts, okay? How great would that be? You got your 12 guys in your league. You all go to the Golden Nugget. You can get a golf thing going on. You can get a poker thing going on. You can get poolside. You can get, cabana there at the pool. Or you can just, you know, everybody goes and lays. You can bring the wives and kids because it is kid-friendly. You got 12 restaurants. It's just a great time. They've got packages available, including beer and pizza, wings, food, credits, and more. all kinds of great stuff for you to get your fantasy draft going. And if you don't want to do your fantasy draft there, okay, that's fine. But when you're, I mean, to watch football, this football season, with the DraftKings Sportsbook, there's no better place to go get your football on. Make a reservation. Get there for the weekend. Watch all your football. Have a big time this football season. I just love it. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so, man, I've been hearing a lot of good stuff. I read this morning that somebody's been, I mean, Rutledge is just looking great. He's bringing an attitude, and he just brings it every single day. Every single day. This is the kind of swarm that D'Amico is looking for offensively. Dude is bringing it. Somebody said there is no way he's not on the field, that he's not starting.
Do you know yesterday? So I'm in the middle of. They just hit me with, "Hey Lance, we need you to write an article. Your top 25 draft prospects for next year." I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna have to, you know, get through about 70 players of tape to go find them." So I've been starting on that. I was here until about 7:30 last night. I get to Chris Cole, linebacker, Georgia. He's on a list of players for me to look at. So I'm like, let's see. Let me find a good game for Georgia. Oh, I'll watch him against Georgia Tech. So I turned that on, and I didn't even think about Rutledge. And, like, the second play, I'm like, I see an offensive lineman slapping a defensive player's hands off of his jersey after the play's over, being kind of pissy. And I'm like, oh, crap, it's Rutledge. And I swear to God, I'm trying to watch the linebacker number 9, and every play, number 77, I think it's number 77 or 76, something like that. Every single play, Rutledge is in it. Probably 4 out of every 5 plays Rutledge has got. He is either blocking through the whistle, giving you an extra push. It's just so nasty with him. He's such a dirt dog. It's not fake.
And that dude's bringing an attitude.
No, it's not fake. He doesn't like the people he blocks.
Who's got the most attitude on the team? Well, who had it? Aziz Alshaier. Here's Alshaier talking about Rutledge.
Man, I told you guys, I think, in OTAs, one, you know, he went to Middle Tennessee State. I know like Georgia Tech likes to probably claim him, but you know, that boy's Conference USA all the way. You know, we talked about it when he first got here. You know, for me going to FAU, you know, just you got love for those guys, and he plays that way too. He plays like with a chip on his shoulder, plays the game the right way, works hard at that position. It doesn't take a whole lot of talent. Like, obviously, talent will take you really far, but I feel like especially early on, before you even know all the techniques and all that, it's more of a mindset. You're the first line of defense for the quarterback. And you got to have the right mentality. And I think he does that. Funny because it's like first day, or I want to say it might have been the first day, and we're going on. And obviously we all got pads on. So I always feel bad punching him in the chest with no pads. And he's bringing it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's bringing it. So I guess I got an extra shot, bring it. So it was just good because, you know, just the mentality in general, like pads, no pads. You know, he's just trying to work hard. And, you know, most thing I always talk to him about is just working smart. That's a different level of being a pro. I think I'd rather tell you to slow down or be smart than to tell you, hey, man, you got to pick it up. So I feel like to see him doing that, you know, I got up and I was okay. So I'm not mad at it. You know, I play the game hard, too. So for me, especially knowing him as a rookie and what he's trying to accomplish and what our team is trying to accomplish, I was happy with it.
They were talking about when Aziz got taken to the ground, which kind of a no-no. In camp, you don't want to stay
with
up.
No
stay
pads
up,
on.
Stay up. They always yell, "Stay up, stay up, yep. stay up." And now you're at some point. You're probably going to have a little bit of an issue with him when you scrimmage against other teams because everyone wants to. No one wants to get punked. Everyone's trying to make a statement in camp, especially those second and third string guys or guys trying to make a team. Are going to be quick to show how tough they are. But like you said, John, it's just in him. This is every – when I watched him in the draft, it's the first thing you notice is like, God, this guy's nasty. And he's nasty for real too. Because some guys, you can see him picking on DBs. Like you'll see certain tight ends trying to pick on DBs when they're blocking, but they don't have the same energy when they got to, you know, block, or if they got a crack on a lineman or whatever, that energy goes away. That toughness goes away. Dude, he's like, if you're a corner, you can get it. If you're a safety, a linebacker, a nose tackle, it doesn't matter to him. It's the same thing every single play. Now, you still have to execute and get guys blocked. I mean, there's still all that. You know, he had a really horrible wreck where he almost lost his foot. I think it was a foot that he almost lost. And, you know, recovered from that, like Aziz said. I forgot he went to MTSU and then transferred to Georgia Tech. So he's one of those guys that started lower level, relatively speaking, and then got portaled up. Those guys always have attitudes. They always have a chip on their shoulder, you know, because they were told they weren't good enough. Yep. So when they make it up there, man, how do you think Indiana won with all those James Madison guys? Those guys are all dogs, mm-hmm. all of them. They go in there thinking, oh, you didn't think I was good enough. Okay, I see how it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's the same way, you know, it's the same way Peter Lambert.
How did he last
Peter Lambert's
second?
A dog. Peter Lambert could have portaled into Indiana. Like, oh, you thought I wasn't good. You cut, you tried to cut me before the season. Okay.
Yeah. You played at Conference USA Colorado Rockies.
Yeah. Keep that same energy, Dana. Watch this.
Yep.
Now, you stand over there, Dana. You stay on that side while I'm over here trying to win this Cy Young Award.
That's right. How did he last till the second?
He didn't. He got drafted in the first, remember?
Rutledge, yeah. Yeah. No, I was thinking
late,
McDonald.
No, late in the first.
Yeah, Rutledge was late in the first, yeah.
Well, and people thought he was drafted too early. Remember, there were people who said he shouldn't have gone in the first, but the problem was he was going to go, I want to say it was the Giants were going to draft him. There was somebody who was ahead of the Texans who would have drafted him. So I knew that I already had that intel.
He's exactly what this team needs.
Exactly what D'Amico wants. Yep. Exactly. For the first time.
An offensive lineman with Swarm.
Yeah, you haven't seen that. Like, Prada is not Swarm.
No.
Gucci is not Swarm.
D'Amico had to get rid of the Prada out of
Coach
the offensive
Bags
line room.
Are not Swarm.
No.
It's not Swarm.
Coach? You think those guys were buying Coach
Bags? I don't know.
What's wrong with
you?
I don't know my...
Prada, Louis, Chanel.
Although there's going to be some guys in there that are tough guys that probably have Louis bags. I hate to say it, but I
know it ain't Rutledge.
No, it's not going to be him.
It ain't Rutledge, okay?
It's the famous quote that somebody had on Twitter. I don't remember who it was. Like, I want my wide receivers to be fast, and I want my offensive linemen to have questionable politics.
Yep.
Like, I want them to wear boots and have questionable politics or something. I know exactly what they were getting at. You just want tough guys on the offensive line.
That's it.
I mean, and the Texans just got too much into what their fits were headed into the locker room. Like, make sure it felt like the Rockets when it was vibes with Kevin Porter Jr. and young Jalen Green. Like, what are we doing? This shouldn't be about fit checks and vibes. This has got to be about busting people's ass.
Yeah. All right, we got a break. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. If you want to get in here, anything that we talked about yet, we still got a lot more to do. But I got to talk about HRP. I got to talk about my people over there. I love what HRP does for us. They are partnering with us. They will partner with you. They will make sure that you're getting everything the way you need to get it, so that you do not fail. As a matter of fact, you're probably like, well, you know, we're doing okay as a business. We're a lot of sales out there, and then you look at the bottom line and you go, it's not great. Well, the bottom line is the bottom line. And you need it to be great. You need to do all of these things, the HR, the payroll, the taxes. This is all crap that you have to do, okay? The 401ks, all this crap around your business you have to do. That's not what you do. You sell your widgets, whatever your widgets are. You're successful at doing that. All this other stuff, this periphery stuff, you don't do it. You know who does that? HRP. professionally. They have got proprietary technology that the other guys don't, that just makes it so easy, so wonderful for you. We, as a business, we love it. I've dealt with the payroll people over at HRMP. We have a direct line to them. It's so easy. You don't get involved. The HRMP takes care of all of any kind of issue whatsoever. I created the issue. It wasn't because of them. I created my own issue, and HRMP figured it out for me. You need an HRMP because you don't do this stuff that they do. You can't do it, possibly do it as well as they do. They do it the best. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Get a free evaluation at HRP.net.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
We haven't talked Astros baseball in a while. They win again, 2.5 games up on the Rangers, 3.5 on the Mariners. 7-2 win last night. You got a day game today, 1-10 game against Hunter Brown. Brown against Tylon. And Jameson Tylon from the Houston area, from the Woodlands. We had that conversation. Good people. Great people up there. Great people. Not good people, but the wood people are awesome.
They're not called the wood people.
They kind of are.
They're Woodlandians.
This is a great – I don't know that Major League Baseball knows, but what they did for the Astros, right out of the All-Star break, they got the Thursday off, right? Mm-hmm. Then they got another Thursday off, the next Thursday off. Now they get this Thursday off as well. And then they get the following Thursday off, followed by the following Monday off. This has really been a very positive. This is, you know, usually you'll go through stretches where you play 26 out of 27 days or whatever. This has been a nice, and the Astros are taking advantage in a big way with this rest. And with the, you know, they're not all that talented, especially in the outfield. Still, with the addition was okay. It was okay, but they're playing really, really good baseball. Really good baseball right now, and they need to win this one today with Hunter Brown on the mound. Continue to pitch the way that he has shown. If he can get back to Hunter Brown, ace. A guy who can carry a team as the number one starter, then you know what? This team has got a shot to maybe win a series, maybe do something in the postseason, maybe do a little something in the postseason. But after this, they go to San Diego and San Francisco. Both teams are not – what San Diego's okay. San Francisco's terrible. And then Seattle at home, the Angels at home, yep. The Athletics, they got a nice long homestand after that. This is time to make hay – to show that you are one of the better teams. Get your rotation going. You got a decent start out of Javier. You got a good start out of Wesneski as well. And you got, you know, Cy Lambert, who's been pitching great. Hunter Brown, getting back to being Hunter Brown. Renell Blanco, we'll see if he can continue to be decent. This is a good time. This is a fun. I like this team a lot. I like this team. I love what Yordan is doing, what Pena's doing. Altuve with a three-hit effort last night. He's been not really Altuve, but he's been good. Christian Walker has improved greatly this year. Paredes has had himself a nice couple of months here. I like this team a lot. I do. And I think it's fun. The bullpen is rounding out. We got Abreu pitching away that he, you know, we remember him as opposed to what he started at. So, you know, and you Oakert has pitches every day, it feels like. And so this is a good, I really do. I'm enjoying this baseball season. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for Astros baseball today. It's a 1 o'clock game. So let's go.
It's been enjoyable the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd say the rest of the season wasn't so enjoyable.
No,
April,
well,
May, June, and most of July.
No, but I still liked watching him. I especially with Yordan, with the way that Yordan. I mean, even if nothing else.
Yeah, Yordan's fun to watch.
You're watching Yordan every day in and day out, and he's incredible. He hasn't come through in this series like he had.
You sound like
in the past.
A real estate agent trying to sell me a house, like with your flowery language of this team. It's only recently they started winning.
Yeah,
and, you know, real estate agents can make anything.
I still enjoyed watching them, even when they were lovely. I told you that.
This foyer has a lot of natural lighting in here.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. I'm like you're selling us on that. This has just been a blast to watch this Astros team this year. No, it wasn't. You keep going, and the more you say it, the more I realize you're lying.
I still no.
Jordan has been fun to watch.
I told you before. I still was watching him. It didn't mean
it's good. It didn't mean you liked it. You were watching.
I was watching, and there's been other seasons.
You say, do you like that song? I heard it with my ears. So yeah, I heard it. I heard the song. But did you like it? Did you like that movie? I saw it. Was it good? I said I saw the movie.
No. I enjoyed it.
You're not enjoying Astros baseball for the entirety of the year. You are now, as we all are.
I was not. I was upset the way that they were playing, but I still was watching.
Well, listen.
That's not like a movie. That's nothing like a movie. Because you can turn them up. It's 162 games. You don't have to watch them all.
You do. You're in LA. Still, what are you going to do?
You know what? You can turn them off, but I didn't.
You watch everything, though.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of TVs. You're in LA. You watch a lot of TV now. You don't have a Lulings there.
No, I don't have
or Damaris there. You don't have those barbecue spots that you go to drink, and I don't even know if you get barbecue at any of those places. Why do you go to barbecue places to drink?
They just seem to be the most welcoming.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know,
I mean, I would go to Nick's all the time if it wasn't so, it was far. So,
yeah, but and
I
if he sold brisket.
Nick's is very welcoming too. That's what I love about Nick's place. It's very welcoming. It's just a little more of a drive.
It's not really far per se, but just once you live inside
the loop. Well, for me, it was inside the loop.
Far.
It's like, oh God,
it's the longest drive down Westheimer.
You are not that far from Nick's.
No, I'm not far from Nick's. Mm. I went and watched Belgium beat the brakes off of the U.S. from there. By the way, I had a long talk with Glenn Davis yesterday when I was up here watching my tape. He was up doing his show, the show entitled Soccer Matters. You may or may not have heard of it, but more than likely you have heard of it. And he really enjoyed doing the stuff with us. We were talking about whether or not the MLS gets any carryover from the World Cup, and it just feels so unlikely. No. And even Glenn said, listen, I've gotten excited about this stuff before, so I'm much more cautious. Because my whole thing is, like, the Premier League is going to get a big bump early. But Glenn said, let's see if the same people stick with the sport in 4 and 5 months.
Dell, I just saw we have a list of friendlies over the next couple of months. The U.S. has a list. But here's the thing about those. And I was like, oh, I want to see who are we going to play, and that's going to be neat. But a lot of times for it's not even close to the USMNT team, right?
Yeah, you're getting preseason. It's like preseason
football.
What do
you mean? Football. You mean as far as the competition?
You don't get the real U.S. team.
It depends on a certain window and what their club teams will allow. Like the September window is as the. It'll all be international breaks, but the question is...
Are they already on international break in September?
Yeah, for different reasons. The question is, will the club allow one of their best players, or at least one of your best players, to go? So it's more about that than the U.S. Not wanting certain guys. And with Pochettino being locked in for another 4 years, he may not pull, let's use Pulisic or a Robinson, because he wants to see other guys that he couldn't give a chance to because the World Cup was coming up. He needed a set lineup. So, to your point, there's no real guarantee you're going to get the best of the best, particularly this early in the cycle. But you do want to find out how many guys can actually play for you, because if you go back to the World Cup, if you look at that roster, maybe it went 14, 15 deep as far as guys he actually wanted out there. You would like to add some depth, and maybe you do that by going young. So you never really know. That's why the camp call-up, when that list comes out, then you find out, am I going to see the stars? Am I going to see young players? And then you determine how you want to, or if you want to watch a game. And they got two windows in September and October. And the friendlies are Peru, Chile, Mexico, and Canada. So a lot of CONCACAF in there and some South America as well.
Mm-hmm. And does it give you an idea how good they are?
Not really. It really depends on who's out there. And really depends on who's out there for the other team, too. That's something you have to take into account. Does Chile feel like this friendly is important to them, that where you see their A team, or do they want to get a look at some young guys? So that is the thing you have to maneuver through with these friendlies. You have to look at the call-up, the camp, and look at the guys in the camp, and then decide, do I have interest in a couple players to see if they got a real shot, or is this really a B or C team who have no real chance of being guys who play important matches for us. So if you're not locked in to the squad, it's hard to know.
I'm in contact with
Yeah. How many guys that played for this team this year will be in 30?
There's some age questions because some of your they'll be 40 something, so unlikely. Don't distract me. You tried. The problem is some of these guys are in their upper 20s, and if you were a guy who was 28 years old on this team and weren't particularly great, why would the coach want you around at 32?
Shows that you don't have a very good roster.
There are some guys that are in the mix, like Anthony Robinson's, I think, mid to late 20s. He's got a shot to play. Of course, Pulisic, if he continues to want to play international soccer, he'll have an opportunity. Weston McKennie, Malik Tillman. There are several.
Yeah.
But there are also guys who were likely playing in their last World Cup. And for our sake, we need to move on. Maybe
but I think
seven
it'll be
or
a
eight.
Positive.
Maybe
I think it'll be a positive if we've got see a lot of the guys like that, those are recognizable guys from this year that you know we will be able to look to in 30 and go, you know what, we like these guys.
Yeah, but I'd rather find guys who are good
for the for the fan.
But those guys are good.
For the fan who's looking and only watches the World Cup, you. And is only familiar with the team because of the World Cup. Yes, you would like for that fan to carry over. First, you want them to be watching all the games.
A lot of them carried over from 22, though. But they were already there.
I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the fans who got locked in.
But the players John's talking about, they were here in 22. They're getting older now.
Well, this is why, depending on the quality of the player, you either want them around or not. But for the fans, yes, you like carryover. Oh, I remember Malik Tillman. Oh yeah, in 2030 when it pops up again, you're gonna know. Oh, Balogun, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But what U.S. Soccer would like is for you to be locked in going forward, not in 2030. So if certain members of the team that you're familiar with aren't around, you have grown to know the guys who will replace them
because they'll get their shots.
That's the challenge for U.S. Soccer. Can the fan base that grew because of the tournament continue to watch his team progress because they got Copa America. That's an important tournament. They got Nations League. They got Gold Cup. Those are all things
you watch all that,
love.
Don't you, Dale?
It depends on the roster, but most of the time I do.
See, as long as I know when it's going to be on, because that's part of the battle. I'm actually more interested in watching all of that now.
They got to promote it better.
Well, they have matches on HBO Max. They do have dedicated.
I mean, who knows the goal.
How do you know when the Rockets are on?
Well,
do you go through the Rockets account?
Well, they promote it.
They're on the same channels.
You know the Rockets are on because the Rockets promote it, or because it's on the ESPN schedule.
They're established.
Yeah, but what do you want U.S. Soccer? How do you want them to promote their games?
Well, I mean, you got a soccer match on HBO. I never knew that. I never even heard of that.
They have a deal with TNT/HBO Max.
You're on one channel called Space. Soccer City
that's not
Matters.
That's a whole network
that you have to pay $20 a month for.
Soccer City Matters?
Yeah.
If you want to watch, you can find it. If you look at the top of ESPN, there's and it's
can you just
US
tell
soccer.
Us when they're going to play?
No, because I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not
you
your.
Tell
just
us. Tell
not
me
your assistant.
And John.
No.
Yeah, you gotta promote the league.
B-R-A-I.
It's not the league. It's the country. It's not the league. We're not talking about MLS. We're talking
just
about U.S. Soccer.
I don't want to have
to
go look.
You don't
tell
us where to watch and when to watch.
You,
it.
you watch,
send us a
you
group
watch
text.
The Astros from Los Angeles because you care. If you don't care, you don't care. I don't know what
he's
you want
got
me to do about it.
Tell me.
I'm not telling you anything. I don't tell you when the Astros are on. You care. That's why you know. If you don't care about U.S. soccer, nothing I do or they do is going to matter. You have to actually care. And if 2026 wasn't enough, then they're bleep out of luck when it comes to you.
This is, I mean, you oh,
you're just so tell babies.
Us. Just
tell me
us.
When the game is on. You
yeah,
don't
make
you,
it easy.
You don't get told when other games are on. If you care about it, you'll search it out. You'll find the network. If you care about U.S. soccer, you will make sure to know when the games are on.
Hmm.
Tell me, bunch of babies.
Tell me. I'm going to tell you about ProDunk.com. That's what I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about ProDunk because it's the best goal in the history of goals. It's got the best, the tempered glass backboard, okay? It's not like this white backboard that the paint is chipping. No. It's got the breakaway rim. It's not one of those that you can't bend it. The kids can hang on it all day long. And I don't know why they call it breakaway because it doesn't break. I mean, that's silly to me. Here's the deal. Is it's just the best goal. It's the best looking goal, the best installation, the best the technology with the goal that will raise and lower to 5 feet to 10 and with the push of a button. Zzz, and that's it. It's so easy. We used to have, back in the day, we used to have to crank it and to get it up and down. But you don't have to anymore because it's the push of a button because the technology is second to none. Best goal ever. You will love it. The kids will love it. They'll actually be outside playing, even in this heat and rain. They'll still want to be out there. ProDunk.com. You want the best goal? There's only one. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Feel the beauty. Feel the peace at Two Creeks Crossing.